Okay, well, good morning, and we're so glad that you're here. We're hoping that more seats fill as we go along, but what we wanted to do is before summer launches out, we wanted to have an opportunity to talk a little bit about our plan for the summer, in particular, some of our plan to reach our city and to reach our neighbors and coworkers, our families that don't know the Lord yet, and our friends. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about that. We have a couple other items that we want to cover. There's a membership update that we're going to have today, and also a deacon update that we want to share. And then talk to you about some upcoming ministries for the summer. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to just start with a passage of Scripture. Like to read this. This comes from Isaiah chapter 54. And this passage was actually first impacted on my heart when I read about William Carey, really the father of modern missions. And it's because this was a passage that he used when he was meeting with a bunch of pastors. And these pastors at that time did not believe in global evangelism. In other words, they just believed that, well, if God's going to save them, then God's going to save them. And there's no need for us to get on boats and travel to other continents or live in other places of the world. God will do his work. And William Carey, the father of modern missions, actually confronted those pastors and said, no, we need to go with the message. There is a mission that we're a part of, and we need to proclaim the gospel. And this is the passage, actually, that he preached to these men, and it comes from Isaiah 54, and it starts this way: Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. And then this is the part he focused on. He says, Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And when he preached that, he really was talking about how the church needed to be ready to expand. They needed to be ready to expand their tents because the gospel needed to be spread abroad to the right and to the left. And so sometimes when I think about church ministry, I think that perhaps one tendency that we can all fall into is that somewhere around 11:05 on a Sunday morning, so look at about 11:05, you who have the alarm set for noon, I hear it, thank you, set it for 11:05 today, and at 11:05, look around. And 11:05, that's about when everybody gets here, you know. You say, I thought it started at 10:45. It does, but by 11:05, everybody's here, and it starts to fill out. And our natural tendency could be that at 11:05, we look around and we say, well, this place is pretty full. I mean, we're doing pretty well. I think we're good. And I think I just want to share with you this morning as part of our time together that if we actually get to that point, where we feel like we're good, we've reached the goal, then we're actually forgetting about this valley. And we don't have open eyes for this city. Because we want the percentage of Christians in Utah to be greater than 3%. And simply filling this space is not going to do that. And so I want to really challenge you in your heart that you would continue to have a vision, that you would sustain a vision for the city, for this valley, that we would extend our tent, that we would ask God to spread the gospel to the right and to the left, that we would continue to do that because we're not done. If we're done, then we're dying. We actually have to keep going. And the reason we have to do that is because we still have coworkers who don't know Jesus. And we still have neighbors who don't know Jesus. And there's still people on the university campus and in our communities that need to hear about him. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. And I want to talk about a way forward for our church. So how are we going to plan to do that this year. But first, before we get into that, maybe just a couple of updates. The first one is one that will actually help us grow. And it has to do with deacons. Now you say, how do deacons help the church grow? Well, if you read the book of Acts, where the first deacons were elected, does anybody know what chapter that is? Just off the top of your head, a little quiz. All right, Acts chapter 6. It's the first place in the New Testament where we get this idea of deacons. And in that passage, the church had gotten to a point where there were needs that weren't all being met. And what were the particular needs in the church of Jerusalem that weren't being met? Someone just, okay, everybody together, widows. That was it. It was widows. And if you remember the context, it's because the church had grown immensely and it had grown rapidly. In Acts chapter 2, there was no church at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, and by the end of Acts chapter 2, there was a 3,000 plus person church. We talk about rapid growth. They're meeting there, they're trying to learn the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, prayer, the breaking of bread, probably communion. They're trying to do these things. They're trying to care for the poor. They're trying to love one another. Jesus had told them it was better to give than to receive. And they were following his example and care for people in need. And there were these widows, right? But what was going on is there was some neglect. And that was that they couldn't keep up with the care of the widows. Some people thought there was favoritism, like you're favoring this ethnic group of widows instead of this ethnic group of widows. And so it was causing division in the church. And the answer to it, I mean, God's answer to the struggle with unity and the handling of growth, God's answer to that was that they would call out deacons. And so it says in Acts chapter 6, choose out from among you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And what were they going to do? They were going to serve the church. They were going to be the hands of service for the church. So sometimes when we break down the two offices in the church, and there's two, and where how do we know that? Someone help me. How do we know there's two offices in the church? Where does that come from? It's our little ecclesiology quiz this morning. Just raise your hand and tell us, how do we know about the two offices in the church? Okay, Daniel. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, there's two sets of qualifications, right? For elders and then for deacons. Where else? Anybody else? Two offices? In Philippians chapter 1, in the opening of the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 1, he actually talks to the elders, to the deacons, and then to the saints at large. Kind of two offices there. And so as we walk through the pages of Scripture, we see two offices. The one is the deacons, they're the hands of service of Jesus, and then the elders are the shepherding care of Jesus. One is not better than the other, they're actually different. Deacons are called to serve, elders are called to lead or oversee, shepherd, feed, protect. So our church is at a juncture where we're in need of three more deacons. So our current deacons are Chan Choi, Nick Higgins, Mark Kopp, Greg Burr, and Matt Reed. And then two of our current deacons are coming to the end of their term. We have 2-year terms with our deacons that can be renewable by election. And two of those that are coming to the end of their term that are willing to extend and continue to serve the church in this capacity are Sean Lawley and Paul Howell. So when we get to our June 24th family meeting, that's our mid-year family meeting, we get to that one, there'll be two names on there for re-election. That will be Sean Lawley and Paul Howell, who are current deacons coming to the end of their term, but they're willing to continue to serve. But then we also have a few that are coming off, and so I want to talk about that. Phil Flack, he was a deacon. Does anybody know why he's coming off? I wrote on a Google Doc recently, he gone. That was my book, he gone. He moved to Tennessee. So he and Lindell have just been a blessing to our church, but he moved earlier this month to Tennessee. A second one is Cody Lamons. and he has stepped away from serving in the capacity as a deacon in order to give some focused attention to some spiritual needs in his life. And then the third one is Jonathan Griggs. And so Jonathan has faithfully served our church for 2 years. And if you look around at the interior of this building, you will see many things that he has really helped with. And so this is Jonathan and Jenny's last Sunday with us here at Gospel Grace. They're not moving to another state. They're moving to another part of the city because they're going to be part of the core team to help Gospel Hope Church. And so we're saddened but delighted to send them to that. And so Jonathan and Jenny are actually going to be taking their gifts and leveraging them for the revitalization of Gospel Hope Church in Riverton. They're going to be moving down that way. And so Jonathan has come to the end of his term. This is their last Sunday, and we're going to send them off with prayer at the end of our service today. But with that in mind, there's actually three places where we need to fill in for deacons. So we want to nominate qualified, able, willing men to serve the church for the unity of the church and the growth of the church, like we see in Acts chapter 6. And so what will happen is if you're a member, you'll receive an email this week that will have a nomination form. It will remind you and walk you through, because we've done this recently, I'm not going to do it again this morning, but it will remind you of the qualifications for a deacon. And I just want to tell you that actually is very important. This isn't a popularity contest. This is not like, oh, that person's been here a long time, let's nominate them. That's not how it works. The scriptures make it very clear they have to be qualified men. So qualified, and then willing and able. And what I mean by that is some may be qualified, but they're actually, maybe they're involved in a number of other areas of service, and so they don't believe that this is a place where they should leverage that time. Or maybe there's some family situations or work situations that wouldn't allow them to do that. So we want to nominate qualified men, and then those will be nominated this week by members in response to an email nomination form, okay? Then what will happen is the pastors will interview these men and their wives, because if you read the qualification list, it includes the wives. So we'll interview them and talk about qualifications, ability, and willingness. And then our hope would be that when we regather on June 24th for our family meeting, we will have a list from which we can vote. And we'll seek to vote in three new deacons. Are there any questions on that? I just want to, maybe you have a question about that before I move on. Are there any questions on that? Yeah, Alex? No, they don't have to be married. Nope. Otherwise, they would also have children. You know how that kind of that plays out. But if they are married, there's qualifications. If they do have children, there's qualifications for that. Thanks. Great question. Yes, Brianna? No, actually three in addition. Yep, so there's three that are coming off, two that end their term but are willing to re-elect. Yep, or to re-up. Any other questions? Okay, that's one item of this. That's our deacons. Here's the second one I want to talk about, and that is membership care. Now, I want to talk for just a moment about why membership is so important, and then I want to talk about care. Membership is so important because what it means is that you are fulfilling what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Submit yourselves one to another in the Lord. If you remain on the periphery, if you'd rather just come and go at will, like you don't want to be accountable, you don't want to commit, you don't want to leverage your gifts, you don't want to submit, then that's what happens when someone's not a member of a church. But when you really decide, I want my gifts to be used, I want to partner in mission. And think about this phrase, I want to be responsible for other people, other believers, and I want them to be responsible for me. Do you know that that's the nature of the one another passages of Scripture? Like it's you committing to say, I'm gonna love that person and I want them to love me. I'm going to bear that person's burdens and I want them to bear mine. I'm going to pray for them and I want them to pray for me. I'm actually willing to stir them up to love and good works and I want them to do the same. Do you see how this works? So submitting yourselves one to another in the Lord, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, a member is someone who commits to leverage their gifts for the betterment of the body. If you're not a member, then you haven't decided that this is the group of people I'm going to leverage my gifts towards. And then what you may do is you may just take them or leave them at will. But there's a commitment involved in membership or partnership or associated with a family of faith here in a local area that just means I want to take my gifts that the Spirit has given me and I want to leverage them for the mission. You see that? There are also responsibilities that are associated with membership. When I read the scriptures, I find in 1 Corinthians 5 that members are responsible to discipline people. In other words, the congregation is God's tool, kind of the final court. Because if you remember in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, it says, if you have a problem against someone, you go to them personally. If you can't find it resolved, then you bring someone else. So two or three, there's going to be an accountability and words will be established. And if you can't resolve it there, then take it to the what? What did Jesus instruct? He said, take it to the church. So members are actually people who are willing to bear underneath the responsibility that Jesus gave them. And that is that you would be responsible for discipline. I mean, we hope that doesn't happen in a sense of having to exclude from someone from the assembly. But I just want to tell you, there's different forms of discipline, aren't there? There's constructive discipline, there's corrective discipline, there's excommunication. Sometimes discipline actually happens in the family of faith for a good thing. Hebrews chapter 12 says, if you're loved by God, he's going to do what? He's going to discipline you. And that's actually a demonstration that God loves you. He's not just letting you go off in a wandering or a wayward path to destruction. He actually disciplines you. And it says in Hebrews 12, though it's painful for a season, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. And so that's what we pray for in this assembly. There's the administration of resources, the guarding of the gospel, the discipline of wandering believers, and then the rejection of false teaching. And you see all of those in Scripture as responsibilities for the congregation. So membership entails all of those things, those benefits and responsibilities. Now, two updates that I want to talk to you about is that last time we shared a membership update. We talked about two individuals that were on our care list. And I called the congregation to, if you know these people, to reach out to them, to pray for them, to call them back to the assembly. And that is because they have not been in attendance for months. And though people have tried to call or text or email or visit, there are two of our members who have not assembled with the body. And they've chosen to keep at a distance. So I want to talk about both of these, and I want to just do it individually. The first one is Manish Wasnik, and I'd like to just make a motion, and I'll talk about it in a second, but I'd like to make a motion that we remove him from the membership according to our constitution, which says actually that you're not in attendance. It's not due to illness or travel. You know, we're not talking about that. But if you're refusing to assemble with the body to be responsible and accountable to other people, if you're refusing to leverage your gifts and submit to one another in the Lord for a three-month time period. You say, where's that in the Bible? It's not. we just picked 3 months. We felt like that was a good enough amount of time for us to try to call people back and try to remind them of their commitment to be faithful and to love and to serve one another. But Manish has not been with us for actually more than 3 months now. We've been trying to call him back. So I'd like to make a motion that we remove him, in accordance with our constitution, remove him from the membership of Gospel Grace Church. I don't know how we can affirm that he is living consistently with the confession of his faith if he refuses to assemble here with the body of believers. And then he's not fulfilling the church covenant, which he committed to fulfill. And so with sadness and regret, I wrote to Manish. I spent many hours with Manish. But with sadness and regret, I'd like to make a motion that we remove him from the membership. Is there someone who would second that motion? And then I'll open it up if anyone has questions. Is there a second to that? Thanks, Paul. Are there any questions on this? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, the next one on there is Hector Medina. He also has not been in attendance for a number of months. This one, I've talked with the pastors, and actually Jonathan has been the pastor who's been trying to visit him, call him, write to him, and has not yet been able to to make contact. And what his recommendation was, and what I'd like to recommend to the church, is that we wait on removal for 1 month, give us a few more weeks to try to make contact with him, because he's still in the local area. And we would like to try to make contact personally to even explain. I don't know that he understands the nature of what's going on by not attending, and we would like to shepherd him and try to counsel him and personally call him back. And we have not been able to make that personal connection, even though we've tried to visit and text and call. So I wanted to update you on that one, that we will be bringing Hector. If he doesn't come in these next 4 weeks, we're going to continue to try. But if we're not able to, or if he continues to refuse to come, then we would bring it up in the June 24th meeting. Okay? Any comments or thoughts on that? It's not really a motion. It's just an update. Yeah, I would just say, and even these, I mean, my last note to Manish, I said, you are welcome here. You are welcome to come here. I would love to sit down with you and pray with you. I would love to help you restore fellowship with this congregation. I mean, so these people are welcome here. It's just, they're not members here. They can't retain membership if they're not going to attend, leverage their gifts, and be responsible and accountable to this body. Okay. Aaron? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Between this and discipline? Yeah, there are some congregations who view lack of attendance as a matter of discipline. They would say it's a violation of Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, which says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so they would view the lack of attendance as discipline. In our constitution, we have not viewed it that way. There could be disciplinary things connected to it if there was if there were some issues that we were seeking to confront in their life, they were refusing to resolve those things and then remaining away. But a lack of attendance, we've chosen not to be an issue of discipline if there's not a sin that's confrontable. Other than encouraging them and admonishing them to be part of an assembly, even if it's not this one, the importance of being connected to a community, because we believe strongly in that. Any other? Stephen and then Brianna. You can get it from me or one of the other pastors. Or who else has it? Okay. Just raise your hand so he sees. Why don't you grab someone near you? Paul can do that for you. Thank you. Anyone else? There was one more. Krista? Or two. Brianna. Facebook? Yeah, and some people have been in contact that way with him. Thank you. Yep. I did. I did let him know. I haven't gotten any responses from him for a while. Okay. So these are, let me just say this. These are actually sad and hard responsibilities to do this. I want to say with these folks, if you see them, if you run into them, love them. Call them back to an assembly or encourage them to be involved and connect with another one. All right, the next slide, please. Okay, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk a little bit about our way forward this summer and how we want to handle growth in the church, what I'm afraid of or concerned about is that as we spread out across this auditorium at 11:05, a guest could come and feel like we're full and we're done. There's no place for them to serve. There's no need for them to participate. They could get lost in the crowd. Or we could feel a lack of gospel ambition or missional drive for our city. So I'm concerned about that. And so I've actually been with the pastors. We've been praying and talking about this for some time. How can we encourage our church to continue to reach out, to feel like there is space to connect people in ministry, in meaningful service, and continued discipleship. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that here in the next few minutes. We live in a state that has 3.1 million people, where less than, it's just under 3% are in an evangelical church of any kind on a Sunday like today, which means we have a huge mission. One of the reasons why each of the pastors moved from the place where they were to come here to this city, and some of you moved here to do the same thing, is because your heart was deeply drawn to the need for the spread of the gospel. And we don't want that to stop. And so we want to talk about a way forward. We're actually, if you think about where we are, we're in Salt Lake City, which means in an hour from any, from right here, if you go 1 hour in any direction, basically more than 2 million of the 3.1 million people are within 1 hour of where we're sitting right now. Which means this is kind of, this is a strategic spot in the state of Utah. It's kind of the epicenter of the population that desperately needs the gospel. And so we want to continue to move forward to reach our valley and strategically do that. And we want you to be involved in this mission. The way that Gospel Grace Church has been planted and has grown has basically been through this method. We first rented this little building up on the University of Utah campus. How many of you were there? It was called the Post Chapel, Fort Douglas Post Chapel. You remember the beginning. We're there. And then what happened is God grew the church until finally every seat was filled. How many of you remember that? Every seat was filled, those pews. And people were sitting on the floor. That was no joke. There were people sitting on the carpeted floor in the back. And then it was time to find another place because the place got crowded. We needed to find a bigger location. Then we did the same thing in the ballroom. And we outgrew that. And then the Lord gave us this building. We actually aren't afraid of crowding a place. We think that that's the result of people living on mission. In other words, if our church lives on mission in this valley, if you continue to reach your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, and your family members with the gospel, we believe this place will get crowded. And that's a great result of mission. But as things get crowded, we don't want to forget what our primary job is. And that is, we're supposed to make disciples. So it's not just filling seats. Filling seats is a consequence of making disciples. We're not just trying to, hey, let's get a bigger church. That would be terrible motives. That would be a wrong mission. What do we want to do in this city? We want to do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he's commanded. That's what we want to do in this valley. So we exist as a church to glorify God by making gospel-centered, grace-saturated disciples of Christ. So that's what we hope to do. And we want to make space for that to happen in greater measure throughout this coming summer. We've been blessed to see the revitalization take place. Our church has spent a lot of prayer and time, energy, and even investment, right? People and resources to see the Gospel Hope Church revitalization take place. And we are excited about what's happening in Riverton. But we want to prepare for what's next. And what we believe is next would be a plant out of Gospel Grace Church. So we would love to see a church plant happen by a group of people being deeply burdened by mission to gather together around a team of elders to go to a particular place to plant a new church. And in order to get ready for that, we actually want to maximize what we have right now. So what I would say is that our next step in the process of fulfilling our mission is to make more disciples and prepare for the next church plant. So these are kind of three words that we want to use to characterize where we want to go. It's grow, develop, and send. Grow, develop, and send. So we want to grow because that's the consequence or the result of doing mission. We want to disciple new leaders. We want to improve our connections. I was thinking about this. You know, to talk about growing this summer, we actually have to talk about some of our deficiencies. Do you know we have some deficiencies as a church body? We need to improve our connection with people. We need to improve that. That means every member needs to improve that. It means we have to talk to people when they come, welcome people when they come, help them on their spiritual journey, do discipleship. We need to do that. We need to improve our connection with people. We need to strategically create discipleship encounters. Like, I want to ask a rhetorical question, not one you have to answer out loud or raise your hand. But how many of you are in a discipleship relationship with one or more people that you're seeking to move them intentionally through relationship connected to God's word towards Christ-likeness? Like, if I were to look at you and say, who are you discipling? Would you be able to say, do you have one or more people in your life that you're doing discipleship with? Because real disciples are disciple makers, right? That's just, I mean, each one of us needs to reach one person or more. We need to reach into people's lives and do discipleship. So we need to improve our connection, strategically create discipleship encounters. We need to have on-ramps for people to serve. In other words, when people come here, they need to know that there's a place of service for them. And there are. There's a lot to do. Just sometimes people don't know what those are, and we need to create better on-ramps. And so we're asking that you would join in this task. So what we want to do is we want to introduce, this is our idea. We're just calling it the crowded house. That's going to be our idea, the crowded house. And so much like it's been our journey along the way that things would get crowded, that things would be a little messy. Listen, if the kitchen's messy, it means there's a good meal coming, right? That's okay. If the construction zone has sawdust, it means something's getting done. And so we think that's okay. Do you know that people pay good money to go to crowded places? Like, have you been to a concert recently? Have you been to a football game or a basketball game? Have you ever been to one of those? You pay good money to be in those crowded seats. And this is what I think. When things are crowded, people wonder what's going on there. And if something is good that's going on there, it's okay that it's crowded. But this is what I want to encourage you to do. You're going to be part of this. We actually are going to try to open up space for more people this summer to be part of hearing the message of the gospel and to be connected in discipleship relationships. We want to create space for that. And so there's a few things that we're going to try to revamp, some things that we're going to try to redo or improve in some way. We're going to retool certain teams. We're going to refocus. And some, we're going to create some new teams to help this happen, people who are going to serve. We want to have people that are handling things from when someone first drives up. What if they can't find a parking space? Have you ever been to a church? You're on vacation somewhere, you can't find a parking space? It's kind of a bummer, you know? Or what if you park and you don't know where to go? Or what if you walk in the door and you're not sure where to take your kids? Or how do I put my little ones in nursery? And we're trying to improve some of the flow, some of the greeting and care, some of the follow-up. We want to turn follow-up into discipleship opportunities. When someone visits here, we actually want to engage them in discipleship. Find out, where are they in their journey with Christ? Where are they? What are their spiritual interests? What's going on in their heart? And how can we help you? So we want to leverage people's gifts. We want to create some new teams and see this happening. So in the months ahead, you're going to hear more about this. There are going to be opportunities for you to serve in some of these ways. The other thing we're going to do is we are going to move our church towards a different culture of seating and parking. And that means if you're a member here, we're actually going to ask you not to park here. We're going to ask you to park somewhere else. You say, you mean I have to park in the park and then walk across the street? Well, that would be awesome, because what you would do is open up a parking space for someone new this summer. So if you're able to do that, some folks aren't, or maybe that's not possible for you, but if you're able to, we want to ask that you would start parking maybe on 7th, or maybe not in green. I love this. Some of you have taken great, awesome steps, and you've moved from right here right to there. You know, like, but I'm going to ask you even just to go even further. You know, walk, have a little cardio this summer. It's going to be awesome for your health, right? Just park a little further away, and we're going to open up these spots for new people. We're going to park in the park and just walk across the street. And we're going to do that so people have space to park. We're also going to change the seating culture. We're actually going to try to begin to seat from the front back. Now, I know that that is contrary to most of your church cultures where you start from the back and move forward, where this first-time guest always gets front row seats. Like, we're so loving, you know? They get to come all the way up front. But we're going to change that, and we're going to reverse it. And we're going to start trying to fill every seat from the front back. And I would say that some of you actually, just initially, even as I say that, you don't even mind. You don't even care. You're like totally cool with that. And if you're totally cool with that and you don't even have a moment of hesitation, then be the first ones to start filling in these seats. And we're going to try to work our way back filling these seats so that our guests have easy seating. We want to do that. And actually, it's going to allow us to seat more people. It will allow us to seat more people. The other thing that we're looking at is we've already gotten a bid on opening up this top space up here. So that section where the screen is, that will all be taken out. It'll be glassed in. The whole thing will be glassed. It'll be one big room. And we'll be able to do some seating right there where people can watch the service live from right up there. It'll also create a teaching space for us, a large teaching space. So that's another one that we've gotten bids on that may happen this summer to open that up. So all of these are part of us seeking to fulfill our mission, which is make disciples. Don't stop doing the mission. Make disciples, and as a consequence of that, I believe our church will grow as it has grown in the past, and we'll have room to disciple people along the way. Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about two ways in which we're going to do that. It's going to be through connection groups and summer outreach, and we'll close our service in just the next few minutes. So John's going to come up and just talk about one way. Remember I talked about on-ramps for people to be connected and to serve? We're coming up with some strategic ways to do that this summer. And then Will is going to close us out with some outreach events that we have coming up.
Thanks. If you were here at our worship night, you heard us talk through our plan this summer to help connect people to Gospel Grace. This has been a need that we've felt over the years. As you know, we come into the summer and we want to keep our core value of intentional evangelism in front of us. We set ourselves up with several opportunities to go all over the city and invite people. We inform our neighborhood. We're in the park proclaiming the gospel. We're serving the community through Mercy Ministry. And we're offering all of these opportunities to reach out of Gospel Grace. What we want to have and communicate alongside that is a way for people to connect to Gospel Grace. I don't know if you had any conversations last summer or in the summers previous where you say, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Just wait till the fall and we have community groups and then you can get to know people at Gospel Grace. Okay? We don't want that to be our conversation for people who start to come in throughout the summer. We want to have connect groups. And so we're hoping to have about 7 or 8 of these connect groups, places where two things can happen. One of them is that those who are new guests can have a way to connect to community. And then those who are part of Gospel Grace would be able to continue in community. So we'll have 3 groups for newcomers to Gospel Grace that can get connected in relationships immediately. Those are for the new guests who come. And we have some leaders that are recruiting a team of about 6 people with them who can be these new connect groups. And then we also have Bible studies and connection places for us as a church to be a part of. And those are things like coffee and theology. Those are things like the C.S. Lewis book study. Those are things like the refuge retreat for ladies. And we'll be talking more about those as we get into the summer months. But that is one way that you can see, along with what Lucas has said, we're trying to increase connection. We don't just want to fill seats with people. We want to engage people about who they are, how they need Christ, and how they can grow in him. And connect groups will be a way to do that. And just if you can think in your mind, these connection groups serve 2 purposes. The first purpose is that it would give a place for new guests to connect with Gospel Grace in community. And the other is that we would be able to remain connected for those who are already a part of Gospel Grace. Okay, Will's going to come and talk about some of that intentional evangelism that's going to be going on throughout the summer.
Okay, great. We got a couple opportunities for the summer. First one starts Church in the Park, June 13th. We'll meet across the street over in the northwest section of Liberty Park. And we'll do some outreach. We'll grill some stuff. We'll have some songs. We'll have a gospel message. I'm preaching the first one. We'll have 5 weeks of them. And we'll look forward to just reaching out, doing some intentional evangelism in the area. So please plan on being there. And then we've got this year, last couple years, we had two water bottle outreaches. We're actually only going to do one as a church. It's going to be around Days of 47. That's July 24th. I knew that. And we're going to man this corner. We'll have some different events going on here and just try to let people know about the church. Just keep that in the back of your mind. And then there are 7 backyard Bible clubs going on this summer. And if you can help, if you've got openings to help during the day with those, that's something that would be a great encouragement. I know our family, we just invited folks around the elementary school just down the road. And there's some folks that have committed to come. We've done that now about 3-4 years. And so they're ready for it. And so I know there's needs for volunteers. You could talk to Daniel Mulder. You could talk to myself, Liesl as well. And then there's what's called Plant Camp. That's where we have outside teens and students that come into the city to help us with outreach. We've got 1 week focused on Gospel Grace area. And then we got 2 weeks that we're actually helping with Riverton. And we're going to do a lot of recruiting for that. So this is some of the summer outreaches. If you can be a part of that, just kind of keep it in the back of your mind. Then next week, what are those nice things? Okay. Okay, and they're in the back. If you need all the dates for the summer calendar, it's in the back. And then next week, we're starting another gospel growth series. We're doing something we haven't done before. We're actually splitting it where the men, you're going to meet in here with myself. And then ladies, you're going to meet with Christy and Liesl. And what are the locations for that? Are the men in here or the ladies in here? Yes. We'll make sure you know next week. And men, we're going to be doing Men of Integrity. I'm going to take just an opportunity to talk through really the how is it that we could be men that are full of integrity in the sense of moral purity and really a walk with God that has integrity. So we're going to take 1 week and we're going to look at Proverbs and really just look at what is our culture doing to cause there to be a disintegration of integrity. And then we're going to take 3 weeks, a means of grace. We're going to talk about the Word, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and then community. And so we're going to be focused on how is it God is keeping us men of integrity. And then ladies, you're going to meet with Christy and then Liesl, and you're going to be learning about sharing Jesus without freaking out. That's from a book, and it's been a great blessing to Christy, and we'd love to share some of those things with you. That's going to be next week. Well, thanks for being here, and we're going to start a church service in just a few moments, all right? Take care.